It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. E right didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
And we'll get into what happened last night in Tallahassee. We got stuff from D'Amico. We got tickets to give away with the Cougs hosting Southern. But this came across the television as I was getting ready for the show. Maybe, Sean, you have some insight on this. I've never seen an episode of Traitors. There's a commercial being played because I screwed up the very beginning of the show because I put in the wrong intro, and now I can hear my songs over and a future commercial that you hear after this segment's over again, as we get off to an inauspicious start. Traitors, don't know much about it. Know that it's won Emmys. It's got a lot of nominations. It's an international show. There's one in Canada. There's one in New Zealand. It's much like Love Island, where you have different iterations around the world. Alan Cumming hosts the one here. And have you seen any of it, Sean?
No.
So I was looking through it, and it's a bunch of people I guess I'm supposed to know. Like, they have some level of fame, but it just misses me. Like, the commercial came on. I was like, oh, I think I've seen you on YouTube before. As a creator, now you're on a network television show trying to, I guess, convince people you are something that you're not. It's just a blind spot. Ah, too late. I'm out. I thought about it quickly. I got too much stuff to watch. But it's going strong again, apparently. So shout out to NBC and Peacock for creating a show that I'll never see, which is kind of what they do. I don't remember the last time I've watched an NBC original. And I really have not seen anything on Peacock other than the Eddie Redmayne spy show, which is pretty good. Now I got to think of the name. But as far as...
We'll bring the heat.
That's Lexi you could hear Sean talking to, as we need to give her something for socials because John Lance disappointed her in that regard. I don't know that you're going to get any Astro stuff, Lexi, because I could wax poetic about how Nate Pearson is doing now that he's away from the Astros. He's pitching pretty well for the Royals. A guy that the Astros said, get out of here. But other than that, hope for Texans talk, Lexi. That's probably what you're going to get from us. And we do have, as I said, sound from D'Amico Ryans. So, college football weekend's over, officially over. It ended Monday night with FSU and SMU. And it started off weird because the game was about to kick off, and then we have a power outage where they could not realistically have a game. They didn't have, in fact, the stadium was not completely dark. You know, the emergency lights come on, but it wasn't a way that they could broadcast a game, and it wasn't a way they can play. So we got a delay. We got two delays over the weekend with much different results as far as some prominent games. LSU and Clemson delay turned into an absolute massacre, and then this one turned into a good game only because SMU decided they wanted to keep Florida State in it. Like, Kevin Jennings started off great, and then he threw a couple really bad picks. You had a fumble as they were trying to go in for a score as they just moved into FSU territory. And then I think they only punted a couple times, but they missed a field goal. So all in all, SMU was trying to give away a game to a team who's not very good, at least from what I can tell. I don't take much from what they did in their first game, Florida State, and then you see them against another ACC team. You can see a clear difference. Not that SMU recruits better, not that SMU spends more money on their program. They're just, when they're not turning the ball over to Florida State, a better operation. You saw it throughout. Like, the biggest thing outside the power outage was the Florida State pass rusher mimicking Myles Garrett when he does the I'm going to dribble through my legs in front of the center guard combo and then try to rush a passer, and then he wound up getting buried in the dirt. So a lot of people are talking about how unserious that program is. Their program, who would have moved on from their head coach if not for not having the money. Mike Norvell's owed like nearly $47 million. So just a cautionary tale that Florida State should have paid attention to what Texas A&M did when they stole their coach, when they stole Jimbo Fisher from Florida State. They gave Jimbo an extension far quicker than they shouldn't, and they got stuck with that bill. Florida State's just the next in line. Think about Mike Norvell now, and think about him coming off the 13-0 season that wound up with them losing the Orange Bowl to Georgia in humiliating fashion, because all the players who thought they were going to play for the title, at least in the playoff, decided to opt out or go get ready for the draft. They gave him a deal after that because Alabama came sniffing around, and now they don't have the money to get rid of him. They should have known he's a Jordan Travis merchant. They didn't, and now they're stuck where they are. And the thing that struck me beyond the loss is Florida State hasn't had a competent passer in how long? Like, Ashton Daniels was a last-second add because they misevaluated portal targets. So, and we talked about it yesterday. Pay a quarterback whatever he wants if you think he's good, because we watch college football around the country and watch all these guys who can't operate an offense, can't throw and make simple reads. If you have one of those guys, and sure, there are tiers to this, but if they get on your campus, make sure you keep them. And they wound up with Ashton Daniels. Okay, runner. He's not a superior athlete, but he's fine. But no drop back passing game. And this has been the case for years. Now, Mike Norvell's offense doesn't really need that. But I'm old school as far as following Florida State since their rise. Can't think of a time or stretch of time where they had worse passes. Even like EJ Manuel and Christian Ponder could throw the football, wound up being NFL draft picks. From Jordan Travis, who they had success with, to now, name a Florida State passer who you trusted. And that's part of the downfall. You can look at Clemson the same way. Haven't been able to get one of those quarterbacks, and at wide receiver they have their problems too. So a couple programs who owe their coaches a lot of money, and I'm not sure either one has the appetite to make a move because of how much it would cost. I think Florida State will just have to do it. Clemson, I think, despite what people saw over the weekend, they will be slow to move. I think as long as Dabo wants to be there, unless he feels like he's tarnishing his legacy, he ain't going nowhere. They'll chalk it up to a bad year and keep it moving. So I believe the AP poll comes out today. Its only importance is there's something to talk about. So we'll see where things land. If LSU can jump into the top 10 after their win over Clemson, we'll see how much value is placed on a win over a bad Clemson team. Well, we assume it's a bad Clemson team. And where does Michigan fall after their narrow escape? Western Michigan continuing to show the class that most of college football doesn't show. Very accepting of what happened. Pretty much, them's the breaks is what they're saying. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I know people maybe were at home, so they didn't tune in. So if you got thoughts on the college football weekend, you're more than welcome to join us. Number 713-780-3776. Outside of Boise pushing Oregon, not a lot of surprises, honestly, excluding the Clemson blowout loss. But I think it kind of went how people thought it would go, and we avoided, at least Michigan avoided, a giant upset through cooking the clocks. I believe Josh Pate said he talked to several people who saw the video and still don't get how they got a second. So despite the Big Ten's claims that the video showed why they should have put more time on the clock, people who will remain anonymous, told one of the bigger college football voices that no, there's no reason why there should have been time left. And yet, Western Michigan loses out probably on their biggest victory. If you exclude like winning a title in the MAC, you just talk about recognition-wise, I don't think there would have been any bigger win. And I am surprised how well they're handling it. Because think of your program. And by you, I mean all of you. Think of your program who got a job like that. You think your coaching staff, your AD would have been like, you know what, guys? Life's hard. Let's move on to next week. And considering what people think of their head coach, Lance Taylor, Western Michigan should cherish this year. Because I already saw people going, hey, can he coach North Carolina? Can he come to my school? So he's got it going there after winning the MAC last year, and he almost started off his second year with the biggest win in program history, but according to some, got stolen away. Will the public see that video at any point? I feel it's unlikely.
They released some.
Well, they released the sound of people talking.
Yeah. And the, like, I thought it was very funny that the angle they showed is like worse than the NBC angle where they're like, yep, and it touches them right there. And yeah. You like, just can't see it.
Can't see it.
it's like they tried to make it as shady as possible.
Which is not helping.
By going full transparency.
Yeah, we're going to be as transparent as possible but we're going to rub Vaseline on the camera so yeah. You really can't tell yeah. What's going on. And yet they win. Michigan wins, and now they get to host Oklahoma. Good luck with all that. I don't know that John Mateer and Oklahoma are going to be good. I know they're better than Western Michigan. At least I assume. they are.
They should be.
Or they got problems too. And then Michigan has to deal with them. But maybe this is a wake up call, and Bryce Underwood will fix his feet in the pocket.
Yep.
His mechanics will all get fixed in the week.
One day.
Yeah.
Or in 1 week.
Maybe that throw to win the game reset him. Factory reset. And all the teaching he got in the offseason will click in.
Yep. Against probably the best defense in the country.
Nah, you're bringing in context that I'm not looking for.
Maybe the best defense.
Yeah, they got Ohio State at some point. Not some point, just final game of the regular season. So there'll be plenty of defenses, but perhaps we're starting the role to becoming the player everyone thought he was when Dave Portnoy and others gave him $10.5 million to come play for Michigan.
The haters wrote him off.
That was kind of his tone after he threw the Hail Mary touchdown. Like, oh, you thought I was finished? Hold on, wait a minute. And everyone was like, you know what? Knock it off. Cut it out. No one's looking for you to mean mug anyone after that win.
Yeah. I wonder what his demeanor is.
Coming out
for Oklahoma,
it should all be sheepish. They should all feel sheepish. Yeah, hey, we got that one, but hey, it wasn't our best. We may have been helped along by the Big Ten, and now we're putting it behind us because we got a long season ahead of us and we got a great opponent. They should be thankful that they won, accept any criticism they get for it, and then try to be better.
I'm trying to imagine what that looks like manifested on the field. Bryce Underwood being like, listen, I know we got away with the one, but like his demeanor that expresses all those things that you said.
I think a proper shake of the head, man, I can't believe it. Maybe you can be excited about the win, but then kind of shake your head that it came to this. And
so when he's walking out of the tunnel this week,
I don't know if he's going to do all that.
Is he going to do the same thing that he did last week?
If people
had Pat McAfee excited.
So for people who didn't see it, he stayed on his feet, unlike Arch. But he didn't run out of the tunnel the way some people would like a quarterback to, because he wasn't calm and collected. He didn't do a little jog. It's time. He kind of ran out like he played defensive end or cornerback. He was very hyped. For the moment,
stink it up,
and then go stink it up.
3.5 hours.
And I saw people say, "I don't want my quarterback running out the tunnel like he's a DB." Which is, you know, they're playing the results certainly, but when you're talking about or where you're imagining how the quarterback is going to be, yes, it's going to be a lot of people. First game of the year, you want your quarterback to be settled, not let the environment get to him, and go out there and be kind of an assassin out there just dealing. And instead, he ran out there very hyped, like he was running out there to hit someone.
Yeah.
And instead,
and then just missing checkdown passes.
Instead, all he did was not hit open targets. So,
and against Oklahoma, I'm wondering, yeah,
there'll be less open targets.
Yes, yes. So maybe that's helpful.
I imagine a lot of quarterback run. We're gonna see both. Like Michigan played well enough defensively, certainly to keep them in the game, and they eventually won it. I don't know how good their defense is because it is Western Michigan. I could see a lot of quarterback run in this game with Mateer.
Oh, yeah.
And Bryce Underwood, not a lot of downfield passing.
I mean,
of course, Satania will get open and make a play because that's all he does. But it's
there
safe.
Will be, yes, there will be a point where John Mateer throws a pass and Satania is the only person on the screen.
Yeah, because that's all that happened last year as Oklahoma made the playoff. They'll find a way to get him open or he'll return a kick for a touchdown like he didn't in the opening week. But I don't know how aesthetically pleasing the passing game will be for either of those guys as they face off against each other in a big early season matchup. Of course, Ohio State, Texas play each other as well on that same Saturday. So it'll be another big weekend, but we got plenty to get to before that. We got the NFL that starts up tomorrow and then Wednesday, and then we get to the bulk of the games on Sunday. And we'll hear from the Texans, at least their head coach, when we come back. You guys can certainly join us at 713-780-3776. If you missed out on calling in today and you want to talk about the weekend, yesterday, and you want to talk about the weekend that was, you're more than welcome to join us. Also, we got tickets to give away because the Cougs will try to go to 2-0 against Southern. It is first responders night, so we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets from us. We didn't do a giveaway yesterday, so we'll have two pairs today. If you want to go see the Cougs play against Southern at TDECU, I believe 6 p.m. on Saturday. That's a Cougs team that's got one game with Southern before they may play their biggest game of the year against Texas Tech in Lubbock on a Friday. So we want to check out the Cougs one more time before they take that trip to Lubbock. But before we do any of that, I want to talk about Fliff. If you missed it yesterday, they're new to the station. I talked about them a bit yesterday, and I used them last night. I used those Fliff coins on the SMU Florida State game. I felt pretty good about it. 2.5 was the number. And despite all of SMU's nonsense, I was right. And I won myself some more Fliff coins thanks to that field goal to win the game. And if you're wondering what Fliff is, I'll spell it for you. It's F-L-I-F-F. You can download the app and start playing. You can make picks on all the biggest matchups and player performances. And you can play free every day with free Fliff coins that I used yesterday and your bonus daily dollar. And if you want to level up, you can purchase Fliff coins and receive Fliff cash as a bonus in every purchase. So whether you're going to follow your favorite team, whatever team that is, or maybe it's a random ACC Monday night game that you want to make more fun, use Fliff to make football even better. And remember, you can have something riding on every drive. So it can be every touchdown, every interception, and big play becomes more exciting. Don't you think a couple of those Kevin Jennings picks affected me a bit because of what I did before the game and using Fliff? So whether you're rooting hard, you could be rooting harder by Fliffing. New players can receive a $250 extra bonus with Fliff Cash. Remember, download Fliff and use promo code DELSHOW, that's D-E-L SHOW, to get started. You can play free every day with those free Fliff coins, or purchase Fliff coins and receive extra bonus Fliff cash. You get those huge daily boosts as well, and you get feature picks every day. Download Fliff now. Fliff around and find out. Must be 18 plus. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited and restrictions apply. See terms of use for eligibility at getfliff.com and full promotion rules. Fliff Inc.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
Stand by, cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to what D'Amico Ryan thinks of the Bills, a team who his defense has had really good success against. And he's only seen them at NRG, or now Reliant. So we'll see what that looks like on Sunday. We'll hear from the coach here. But there's an article from Chandler Rome on AJ Blue Ball. There's a quote from Stephen Okirk, who says Blue Ball saved him. And is it bad? Maybe, whatever you want to call it. For me, I don't know what it is, just a reaction to the recent transactions with the Astros, that I immediately, after seeing a complimentary article and reading a bit of it on Blue Ball, looked at his contract status to make sure Jeff Bagwell wouldn't give him a giant deal. He's pre-arbitration. He's got two more years, so we're good there. Blue Ball will be an Astro as long as they want him. And it won't be a big contract, at least not long term. But it's the first thing I thought of. How much could Jeff pay him if he is one of the guys who's the GM? We don't know who the GM will be. We don't know if we'll have baseball next year. But Blue Ball is part of an Astros bullpen that has had his issues, but he's been a constant. He is the only major leaguer to throw more than 76 and two-thirds innings. So they're working him. And he has thrown 88 of them. But no other major league reliever is within 12 innings of him. That's how much he's worked through the first 144 games. Of course, he's a long reliever. He'll get an opening type of situation. Didn't they start a game or two? I don't remember exactly. So there's something a little different. But other guys will be openers and long relievers. And he has been a solid member of that Astros bullpen all year long. And a guy who was with them last year, I believe. But this year, he's really found a spot. And maybe Blue Ball, more than anyone else, would benefit from a work stoppage. Because if he's worked this much, what can I expect in 2027?
Catch his breath.
Yeah. Maybe he would be one guy who goes, you know what?
Yeah.
Hey. I'd like to get paid in 2027. But you start squirreling it away.
Yeah.
Just to make sure. Just so he's not, which feels like overworked this year, and it leading to something where he's underperforming next year. We'll see.
Work but I can do July.
Yeah. We don't have to start in March.
Yeah.
We don't have to push strength training back to April, May. Maybe May, which would be better for me. And then once the season begins, I'm all fresh.
Yeah.
That's
no
all.
Rush.
No rush. Just let me know that we will work because I like a paycheck. But let's not rush this thing.
Yeah.
You know how many innings I threw in 2026? So there's only 18 games left. I don't think he gets to 100.
He's at
88 right now. As I said, once again, he has thrown nearly.
You need to start a game, basically.
Yeah, he'd have to be a spot starter.
Yeah.
And be an actual starter, not an opener.
Yeah, start and go like five innings.
Yeah. So I don't think he'll get to 100, but the fact that he's thrown nearly 12 innings more than anybody else in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're working that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as far through his 55 appearances, more information about him. 26 of them have been at least 20. So when he's out there, they like him, and he's done a really good job. And the bullpen has been good since May. 3 and 2/3. Their ERA is just over 3.2. Only the Yankees and the Red Sox have lower bullpen ERAs since May 1st. So, yes, the Astros have played better the last two games, notwithstanding. And the bullpen, led by Blue Ball and Hader. Well, I'll give Hader some credit. Led by Hader, with Blue Ball being like, he's like the foundation.
Yeah.
Because of all the innings and all the effectiveness.
He's the guy who shows up to work every day.
Yeah. And
Josh Hader's the one that swoops in at the last.
Swoops in and gets all the credit. But you don't get there. You don't get Josh Hader taking all the credit.
He's laying down on the barbed wire
for
Josh Hader to walk over.
Yeah. He's like, hey, grenade! And he jumps on it. And hopefully it's not one that's live. You know, sidebar, because why not? You know, Michael mentioned Fuse, that movie. He mentioned it as part of one of his Friday segments about it being available. I watched it. It has Craven in it. It has Jake Sully in it from Avatar.
Yeah, I love Jake Sully.
Yeah, Jake Sully, and then you got Aaron Taylor Johnson who played Craven in one of the bad Sony Spider-Man villain.
Craven the Hunter.
Yeah, Craven the Hunter. It was not great. He's also a Maximoff as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got some superhero credentials.
One of the army guys in Godzilla.
He plays an army guy in this one. And Theo James is in it doing a weird accent. I guess he's from New Zealand. I don't know where he's from. I know he's English in real life, but he's playing someone with multiple passports. I think he's from New Zealand. He sounds somewhat like Stephen Adams, I guess. I don't know. But it's not a great accent, I would say. It's a pretty good movie. You got some twists and some turns. It's a mystery. It's about a suspected World War II era bomb that is unearthed as some construction crew unearthed it in London. And I was looking up the stats on it. Apparently, 10% of World War II era bombs dropped by the Germans went unexploded. So there'll be occasions where a construction crew will do some digging and roll up on one of these, and then you have people come out to sometimes make people safe and explode them or remove them. This is the scenario taking place. And sure, there are hijinks and hilarity surrounding why that bomb is in existence, and then you try to figure out who's what in it. Yeah. It's not bad. It's on HBO Max if you want to check it
out.
That
must be a sick day. I don't know how this movie goes. It must be a sick day for the construction crew to be like, nope, no work today. Found a WW2 bomb.
The guy who found it, like the foreman, he had to talk to the authorities about what happened here, what he found, and all those things. And eventually, they're like, "Hey, you're cleared." He's like, "Oh, thank God, yeah, let me get out of here." Not because he's thrilled he got a day off. Like, get me away from this alleged live bomb. Get me out of here.
Tottenham kicks off in an hour and a half. Let's go.
He wouldn't enjoy that. Why would he rush to that? Not this version of Tottenham. You're not rushing to that.
This is a fictional world. Right?
Where they're okay still?
Yeah.
Okay. Him and Tom Holland can commiserate over how bad Tottenham is now. Apparently he's a fan of that team. But HBO Max, not a bad movie. And if you like a twist, it's there for you on that streaming platform. Okay. Back from that tangent. Let's get to the Texans. They have a game on Sunday against the Bills, opener of the season. It's a narrative game. Depending on how it goes, we will build narratives on what we think of this team, what we think of the quarterback, and certainly the Bills have their own questions to answer. They're familiar yet new. The head coach was their OC. Now he's the head man in charge. Joe Brady, famously of that 2019 LSU team, is now coordinating the offense and running the team as a whole for the Bills. And does Joe Brady make the Bills different? Here is D'Amico on the Bills we'll see on Sunday.
Overall, this is a new Buffalo Bills team. It's not the team we played the past couple years. Our new head coach, new coordinators on all three phases. What Jim brings, they're going to be a more multiple front, so you'll see more five down fronts than they've had, you know, in the past. So they're going to put their base defense out there. He's going to try to mix it up, try to confuse the quarterback with some disguises, bringing different pressures, dropping the outside linebackers in coverage. So we have to be on it from a preparation standpoint because, you know, right now his, you know, for his track record, it's his first game, you know, calling it with the Bills. So he has everything at his disposal when it comes to trying to confuse the quarterback. So we just have to make sure we're playing rules ball and we're protecting the ball at all costs. And we got to do a great job of trying to control the line of scrimmage. They have a really good front. I mean, they've added a lot of depth to their front, which I think will be a strong unit for them this year. And Jim has called it in college. So he's not new to calling football games. He's a really good, really great player in this league, made a lot of plays, and now transitioned to coaching. He's been coaching for a while. He's not a newbie, so he knows what he's doing. He knows how to try to get the offenses playing, playing off key a little bit. So I'm excited for the matchup. He'll throw some good things at us. Our offense has seen a lot of different things, so they'll be ready to handle it.
Yeah, it's Bill's DC, the Jim he's referencing is Jim Leonard, who was a safety in the league, played for the Bills, played for the Ravens, played for several teams, was a good OC in college with Wisconsin, was a hot name, but no one ever thought he would leave Wisconsin because that's where he went to school. He wound up at Illinois, and he's been with the Broncos for the last couple years as a pass game coordinator, and now he's the Bills DC. So that's an experienced coach, just not as a NFL DC. So we'll see how it goes for him, but a respected mind, and you heard D'Amico, a former player. So Joe Brady on the other side, the head coach, what he's going to face is a team that a lot of people think are simple. Now, the Texans will tell you, no, we switch up some things. We kind of we are more complex than you think. But we're going to hear from a former DB, Dominic Foxworth, and he has a couple other guys with him, his producer, and then Ben Solak, who's over at ESPN, telling you, despite what the Texans may tell you about all the intricacies of their defense, much like when we talk about big hits all day, they're a violent unit, but you know what you're going to get schematically.
I like the Texans as a higher ceiling team and a more trustworthy team. I think the tough thing about this season is, like, last year felt like it was so defined by defense. And this year feels like at least I'm being moved a lot by these defenses. And as anyone who, like, listens to or reads any sort of analytics influence podcast, you recognize that defense is not as sticky as offense. You're more likely to have an offense be good from year to year than a defense. But some of these defense I just know are going to be good.
We were talking about this before the show, Ben, where it's like, they're so good at all of these positions. They don't have to do complex and I think that they're going to win on a rep-to-rep basis.
There's
and
nothing that kills me more than every think piece that comes out about the Texans' defense, where it's like, people call us simple, but actually we're very complex. It's like, nope, I watch. You're extremely simple, all right? You have 11 people with hammers on the field. Like, you don't need to lie about what this is, dude. You've got a bunch of villains out there playing like villains. It's sick as hell.
I haven't seen these think pieces that try to convince us that they play some sort of sophisticated defense. Like, nah, it's cover three and hit your like that's it. We have the ability to go beautiful. Man, but like it's cover three and we're going to hit you, make you pay for every single play. And we got some serious pass rushers. We're going to win on early downs and put you in a long yardage situation. It's the simplest version of football that you have, which, like, to Charlie's point, like, that's reliable.
Charlie's the producer. Sorry, I didn't give you a name, Charlie, but Dominic Foxworth chimed in for me there. Now, I would credit Matt Burke for saying, actually, you know what? We do some more complicated things because, you know, you can't bring Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson with you on your next job. So if I'm Matt Burke, I'm doing that. Hey, I know people think we're simple, but we tweak things. We do things differently to make it confusing for the quarterback and an offense as a whole because I want a job, maybe as a head coach because I led a great defense. You can't keep telling people we're simple and all I do is put you out there in cover three and let the players roam and be dogs. I got to be a schematic genius.
I'm sure he does some scheming, but a lot of schemes look really good.
This is what Matt Burke has to fight against.
Stingley and Lassiter.
Because in your head, you're like,
Hunter and Anderson.
In your head, you're going, yeah, Matt Burke is coordinating great defenses, but he's got Stingley and Anderson.
I'm just saying.
And Lassiter and Hunter.
Maybe he could coordinate a really, really good defense. Those guys make it a great defense.
See, Mike,
those guys just take it up a notch.
See, Matt Burke is looking over to the Pacific Northwest and seeing, well, first it was in Baltimore, seeing Mike McDonald get the genius tag put on him for his defensive his units, where, sure, Seattle's talented, but they're not supremely talented, and what he does to confuse people is really what makes Seattle's defense great. Like, now he would have the numbers for this. I was reading some stuff this morning how cover six is Drake May's kryptonite. And in the regular season, cover six, he didn't perform as well as opposed to other defenses. And then Mike McDonald gave him a lot of cover six in the Super Bowl. And that's why you saw Drake May perform the way he did. That's the type of reputation Mac Burke is trying to build. Hey, cut it out, Foxworth and Solak. Stop telling people I just run cover three and let people roam and go hit people. That doesn't help me get the Bucks job. Sorry, Todd Bowles. Sorry. I don't know. Get the Jets job. Sorry, Aaron Glenn. If I keep talking, all the black coaches are going to be out. D'Amico would be the final one. Who else is in trouble?
That's White?
Yeah. Well, there are only three black head coaches. I've already named two of them. The other one's safe here in town.
Who else is in trouble?
I don't know, because we got like 10 new coaches.
I was gonna
last
say there's
year.
A lot of new coaches. I keep thinking of new guys.
Yeah,
O'Connell mess around, miss the playoffs.
Zach
again.
Taylor, there
Zach
it is.
Zach Taylor, there you go.
There it is. Get him out of there. I think Matt Burke was a coach in Cincinnati, so they would be
He's
familiar
coming
with
home.
Him too. Yeah. Thankfully, I found the name. I was like, man, I'm really lining those guys up. I'm not an ally to my own people. What am I doing? But
Shane Steichen.
Sure. Throw him out there, too.
Well, I don't want Matt Burke staying in the division, taking this,
well,
taking
he,
all the secrets
or
of the
Or you do,
Texans
because
success.
He's very simple and he won't have the same players. So which one is it going to be?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I heard a awesome, you know, one of the defining defenses of an era of the NFL, and I was like, yeah, they just kind of run the same stuff over and over. It was the Legion of Boom Seahawks with, and I'll just say Gus Bradley wasn't like, I wasn't astounded.
This
by,
is what I'm saying.
Defense.
Gus Bradley turned that into, did he ever get a head coaching job?
Yeah, he was the Jags coach.
Yeah, and how did that work out? This is
a lot
is
of 3-13s.
So
if I remember correctly.
So this is why, with that reputation already out there of simple game plans, Dan Quinn got a job with the Commanders and a second job, right? Yeah, didn't he blow a Super Bowl?
Well, you know,
or Kyle Shanahan did.
Matt Burke would never do that.
It's funny Kyle Shanahan gets all the blame. Well, Dan Quinn's defense let the Patriots come back too. They didn't get any stops either.
They scored 25 straight points in the game.
Like Kyle Shanahan's got his slander for not run the ball enough, whatever. But the defensive head coach let them come back. Like Kyle Shanahan's like, I know you had a pick six, but we were up 28-3. Yeah. Shouldn't that be a big enough lead? What are
you
we doing?
Julian Edelman and James White come back on you. And that, Tom Brady, greatest
quarterback. Yeah, Tom Brady, greatest quarterback
but
of all time.
Who is he throwing to?
But yes, when it's Edelman and James White and others should not be the basis for the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. You see those names now, you think of them like, what? Falcons, what happened? So Dan Quinn, not known as a mastermind, has gotten a couple jobs, but he acts. So to your point, it could happen for Matt Burke.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it seems like mastermind genius / leader of men gets you a job now. I don't know what type of leader Matt Burke is. I'm sure he's a good one because DeMeco probably isn't going to have a guy he doesn't trust to lead that defense. I just know I need more claim on my name as opposed to, just run cover three. Come on, guys. That doesn't help me. I mean, I'm trying to get a head coaching job.
Matt Burke, just, focus on the, don't be looking. This is a disease of me. This is, all they did was make the divisional round. We can't be
that's,
looking
Matt Burke,
out for ourselves.
Matt Burke would be, that ain't my fault. You saw what happened on the other side.
No, that's worse. Matt Burke, stop.
You got to be ambitious. You got to balance ambition with being certainly someone who puts team first.
Little finger of Matt Burke.
Yeah, how can you like if Matt Burke isn't
chaotic defense is a ladder.
Maybe Matt Burke only wants to be a DC, possibly, or maybe he's got higher aspirations. And how do you do that? You don't explicitly point out the offense cost you a chance at being a Super Bowl winning DC. You just point out my unit carries this team, and you guys think we can win a Super Bowl. So don't call my defense as simple as you're saying. I don't know if you've heard. I make little tweaks every now and again.
I make little tweaks.
Yeah, to make us even better.
Yeah. Hey, I tell Will Anderson to stunt with Sheldon Rankins every once in a while, all right?
Sure, I don't give him I don't give him free run to do that little basketball move that Myles Garrett does and that FSU defensive end did. But I give him some tips, and look what he does. DPOY candidate. I'm just rooting for Matt Burke. That's
I tell Stingley, cover that guy, and he does.
That's sure. It sounds simple, but you're not in the room. All right, we'll go to break with that. You want to join us, you can. 713-780-3776. Let's say right at 11:05, and I'll give you another reminder. 11:05, we'll give away two pairs of tickets to Cougs versus Southern. So it'll be caller 2 and 3 at 11:05. Go out and see the Cougs. You'll get to see who's driving the slab. They premiered that on Saturday. I don't know if it'll be a famous person every week or maybe it'll just be someone in a Cougs polo who's the person who has to drive it. But who knows? Who knows who it could be? If you want to see that in person, be caller 2 or 3 at 11:05 right here. The number is 713-780-3776. We will be back.
If you miss John and Lance, you missed this.
So this can't be criminal?
No.
But is it criminal if you say it's a fantasy punishment?
I lost my fantasy league.
I lost my fantasy league.
Yes, it's still criminal.
Still criminal?
Weekday mornings from 7 to 10.